For most of my childhood, I went to Mass at my little Catholic church twice a week, which means that twice a week for somewhere in the range of 13 years, I heard and repeated in word or song a few key refrains, again and again. There is no doubt I am deeply formed by those many hours spent with my religious community, and that back and forth that we had with our priests, and the regular experience that I had of being a part of a story with a script that was written long before me and that would live out long after I was gone. But what's really funny now is that sometimes as I'm doing other things, those liturgical phrases just come to me out of the blue. Sometimes they're gifts, sometimes annoyances. The one that's been on my mind while considering this service and this question of what happens after we die is the one that goes, "We believe in everlasting life." Everlasting life. The idea that life doesn't end. We don't end. We live forever. Now, in my Catholic context, only a select group got to live forever, of course. While our universalist forebears would have said, we're all in. We're all saved. We all get to live forever. Today, I wonder, what would it mean for us to imagine that we could live forever? To make a claim for everlasting life. Now, the idea sounds kind of lofty and fantastical. In reality, I actually think it's one that all of us, at one time or another, have tried very hard to make. Especially when we've lost someone. Someone who mattered. Someone who helped us understand how we mattered. In those early moments when their absence seems to be everywhere, we cling to their graveside awaiting some sign that this was all a dream. They can't be gone. They can't leave. They need to stay forever. They'll live forever. I imagine for some among us, this is how it felt when Mark and Vicky made their retirement announcement. It's not true. They aren't leaving. They'll be here forever. Neuroscientists say it takes 3 years for the brain to adjust to a new reality after a big loss or ending. So after you lose a spouse or a longtime friend, 3 years for the brain to make the necessary new connections, to literally create new nodes. This is, I think, an important thing to remember as we all move through the next few years together. The brain takes its own time. A few summers ago, when I worked as a hospital chaplain, I'd sit with families after they'd learned their loved one was dying, and they'd look right at me, tell me the whole story, the way their whole world had been remade in a flash. And even as they told me, I could tell it wasn't real. My mom is dying, their words would say. She'll live forever, their bodies would say. Your brain takes 3 years, I'd say. Meanwhile, while the brain is catching up, what is there to do but to practice that supreme spiritual wisdom that goes, fake it till you make it, right? Kidding aside, one definition of faith is the act of living as if something is true, as a way of making it so. We live as if we understand, as if we can go on, as if life isn't totally upside down. And in our practice, we can't help but conclude, life is risky, dangerous, and unfair. It dares us to love, to attach, calls it its true purpose. Says, you aren't really living if you don't. Only to later reveal that life is both about taking in and letting go. As with our breath, in and out. A few years back, my mom called me to tell me the news about her buddy. That's her best friend since kindergarten. Going on 60 years later, they still lived within blocks of each other. My mom's news, well, her buddy had cancer. Bad cancer. Fast cancer. She had maybe 6 months at tops. 1 minute, she was living a kind of ideal life. Friends, children, grandchildren, a beautiful home, world travel. And then the next minute, she was dying. Our reason fails us in moments like this. We learn quickly just how ridiculous the brain can be, how slow to understand that the world has been suddenly remade. 3 years? That's probably optimistic. And sometimes our faith fails us too. My parents are committed, lifelong Catholics, but a promise of seeing her buddy in some other life, it wasn't much help to my mom on that day. Or on any of the days that followed. In the depths of aggressive chemo, hair loss, with her body just disappearing as if by the second, all she could say was no. No, 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 no. Over those months, my mom would call me, angry and heartbroken. And little by little, we began to talk about forgiveness. Now, I know usually when we say forgiveness, we mean people. But in this case, we meant forgiveness of time, forgiveness of the moment, forgiveness of life and the universe for being so dangerous and cruel. Because I could see the other option, if not a life of forgiveness, well, it wasn't life. The few moments that she had left with her buddy, they wouldn't be lived. They'd be avoided, lost, and over, and there would be no getting them back. The path to living forever starts by living now, in this real moment. Letting go of what you wanted today to be and bring, and instead just being here. As it is already. I forgive you, time, universe, life. We usually talk about acceptance, right? But acceptance relies upon your brain to simply incorporate that new reality. And I already told you what a long and slow and unreliable process that can be. But forgiveness is a practice of the heart. And a practice that pairs well with that living as if. And it is this practice that can make space for acceptance to come later in the brain, eventually. And in this space, new possibilities awaken. In just a few months, we will watch those daffodils coming up yet again, planted years ago. And though they go away, they keep coming back, often with greater force. Often in new places, surprising places. And we will remember with astonishment, renewal, transformation, and rebirth. Our universe is filled with both limits and possibilities. What we think of as an end is filled with so much mystery, and we do not yet know what new thing is being born in the midst of all this rubble. The caterpillar is, after all, pretty sure it will always be a caterpillar until one day it's not. One afternoon in the hospital, I was sitting with a family after a sudden and difficult death. And out of the silence, one of the nurses in the room pronounced, "I guess God needed an angel." As she said it, I got this lump in my throat, and I tried to breathe my way through her really terrible theology and instead back to the loving presence I had hoped to embody for these now intimate strangers. I didn't know their religious beliefs, actually. I mean, I just met them. Maybe they were all about God needing an angel. But the son, I mean, he looked at me right then, lost and scared, and not at all consoled by the nurse and the idea that his father might now be an angel. And I took him by the hand and I said, I don't know what happens when we die, but I guess I imagine that somehow he's less contained. He's everywhere. He can be with you everywhere, all the time. Oh, I know. It's not enough to overcome the body. The loss of the body and the ways words form on their lips and their unique breath and the dawning reality that that piece is over. But it is something to imagine that rather than ending, we transform. A few days before she died, I wrote to my mom's buddy to say thank you for being the friend she was to my parents, especially to my mom. I'm not sure about heaven, I said. I'm not even sure it's an appealing idea. But I do know my mom was a better person because of the way you loved her. And I know I am a better person because my mom was so loved and so well. And I know your life, so I know that your life will go on and on. And this is the best kind of immortality that I know. The love we give to the world, the hope we embody, what we teach, what we grow, what we plant and what we sow, or what we don't. This is how it is that we live forever. Our lives are a promise we fulfill and break and renew every day, with each new beginning and each new ending, and a promise that reaches its fullest potential at our end. Our faithfulness to this promise and how its legacy continues on is our everlasting life, and we're all in. What promise is your life making? How is it that you will live forever? Within this community, we hold both life's limits and its possibilities. The ways that life comes to an end, and the ways that it never does. Forgiving and forgiven, we accept it all. The terrifying and beautiful mystery of it all. Knowing only that we cannot know what new life and new truth will emerge out of this day. Knowing we're only invited to trust, to receive it as a gift, and to be grateful. May we be together a promising people. May our shared journey allow us to bring more love to more of the world. And may we create together a vision, a bold, bright vision of life, abundant life, everlasting. May it be so, and amen.